Hello, hello, hello. Why am I small like this? Fix this, you stupid thing. There's a different way. Here we go. Hey, I knew how to press buttons. How's it going, everyone? I was too busy queuing up the other video and getting it all sorted and organized. And as usual, I'll give it a few minutes here and we'll chatter with the chat and wait for a few more people to trickle in before we get started. But if you recall, we left off, we found out that, well, that Neil doesn't know anything about dendrochronology, which is a little bit of an important thing to know something about when you're covering this kind of stuff. Because dendrochronology is kind of, and not kind of, it is like the bee's knees of dating things, because you take and you can overlap different trees, right? So you could go back, you know, hypothetically, as long as trees have been around. I mean, there's really nowhere on earth where that happens. I haven't looked it up in a while, but the last I remember, it was something like, I want to say 16,000 or 26,000 or something like that. It was like the longest straight line they had. At any rate, there's a lot of lines. My beard, Bedunkified says, Dan's beard taught me to parallel park. Well, that is interesting. I wasn't aware. I'm pretty talented that way. Trees are older than the dinosaurs. Oh yeah, trees are super duper old. They're like, I mean, plants, according to mainstream biology and all that stuff, plants are were, you know, like a prerequisite for all the other shit on the planet, really, all the oxygen using stuff, right? Until the atmosphere was filled with their waste, we couldn't really do anything. Hey Timmy, hey Marcy, yeah. Make me read the same thing three times in a row and I sound like I'm a little bit slow. Hey, screwdriver. Hey, everyone. All right, well, we'll go ahead and get started here in another couple minutes, minute or two. How's everybody been? What do you guys think about doing these kinds of things instead of making response videos to these long things, just kind of shoot from the hip? Hey there, bottle scream. I mean, I'm trying to do more research on the topics that I'm working on, and if you haven't noticed, I've been trying to make sure and get out at least a short video every day. Okay, thanks, Rocky. I like interacting with y'all, and it's fun to have these discussions. And then if something they say is truly egregious, like the, you know, when Flint does his little drooling shit about science, I can make a video about that because it's worth addressing that he doesn't understand the difference between replicability and fucking predictions. Hey Scott. Hello James. Boy, you guys are showing up and yelling now. Hey. All right, if you are and the money is coming in, we're good. Well, thanks, No Borders. I appreciate it, and the money side of it is obviously important. I mean, if you guys saw, I posted a little stupid thing about me having to work on my car, and I didn't have to, and that's really the first time in my life that I absolutely could have paid some dickhead to twist the wrench instead of me, but I twisted. I mean, it's $1,000, man. Jesus Christ, they spent $1,000 fucking replace the starter. Yes, we live off of tree farts, Rocky. That is absolutely correct. All right, we got 100 of y'all in here now plus, so let's go ahead and see what shenanigans these two geniuses have to say. I'm going to say lichen has its own thing going, and fungi can't be a thing unless there's matter for them to recycle. That's probably true. She called me trash. What up? All right, here we go, folks.
Exactly. Well, then we can see what the radiocarbon data is, and now we can update our calibration curve.
Wait, so there's ways to know based on the tree rings, you can know for sure how old the tree is before we even carbon date it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. In fact, that's how they tested radiocarbon.
You can just use that as your testing.
Because you can take a redwood that we know has been and just count back its rings. So we know it was cut down in 1996.
And if your carbon dating's off, there's
that redwood was that redwood started growing 2,000 years earlier, and then we can do radiocarbon dates on each of those tree rings in a sense.
Makes sense.
And then the other thing is those tree rings have a certain morphology based on they squiggle differently based on the climate of a year. So you can actually do it's like a fingerprint. You can say this tree ring because of its squiggle dates to this year. And therefore, even a fragmentary piece of wood, you can lock that in without radiocarbon dating.
Wow.
As somebody just put in, that's why you have a baseline. Exactly. This is a baseline. And so This is how you update these radiocarbon calibration curves, okay? So the real...
That is worth pointing out. What he's saying so far is I mean, you know, this is the kind of stuff I would expect him to get right, but we saw his inability to differentiate between predictions and replicability. So we have to, this guy doesn't require a little bit of fact checking, right? And, but he is right. It's not just the thickness of the rings, but it also is the way that they're shaped and stuff, like he was saying. And yeah, you they'll get these big long lines of, I probably should find a picture of it really quick, but they'll get these big long lines of tree rings going back centuries. Yeah, here's a great image right there. Just click on that. Is it fucking goddamn it, a YouTube video, not an image. Oh, save image. Man, I'm so adept at this stuff. Image file. Sorry, guys. I know I'm not really that good at this stuff, apparently. But there we go. At any rate, look, this is, you see, like, there's, it's showing different pieces of wood there and how you can line this up over time and make, so you could take just a little chunk of a piece of wood and make a very accurate, you could drop it in, basically. And these lines are extremely important. All right, I'll talk to you guys here for a second. What's up, Dan? Love smoking and watching your stuff. Thank you so much, Frank. Yeah, referencing images. Show me the wood. Yeah, why don't I believe anything this asshat says? Is that me or Flint you're talking about? Either way, my feelings are hurt. Been on that devil's lettuce? Oh, no, dude, I don't touch that stuff. That's crazy. All right. I figure you guys have had enough of looking at that amazingness. I dove pretty deep into tree ring data. It's very interesting stuff. I think there's things missing the data, but cool. Oh, yeah, the jazz cabbage. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff that's missing from the data still, but it is, like Flint's saying there, it gives it a very hard line.
Reason why in the 1990s, they thought that this wood for the pyramids and Old Kingdom Egypt and whatnot dated 200 years earlier and not the 100 years earlier that we mentioned in that article, yeah, actually has to do with the calibration curve changing. The calibration curve has been refined multiple times. I think we're in the fifth iteration of it or sixth iteration of it. I forget exactly. I'm not a radiocarbon person, but I teach this stuff. And so because of these updates...
Stop. I got to... God damn it, dude. That's... yeah. Fuck. This guy, he needs a handler, okay? Oh, fuck. I mean, fuck. What was that right there? I'm not a radiocarbon person, but I teach this stuff. I don't know anything about this stuff. But the people that do know something about it, well, I taught them. Okay, anyway, I said that's just kind of a little bit of mockery there, but good God, dude. How was I not going to laugh at that?
We find our dating, and that's why this discrepancy shrunk from 200 years to 100 years.
You know, I'm sorry, but the idea that Dan actually thinks that what's going on in this paper is scholars massaging data on purpose to make a narrative is like,
yeah,
it's beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's beyond your comprehension. Hey, thank you so much, D-Bay. Keep fighting the good fight, my man. Well, fuck yeah, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate so much. Show comments on stage. I'm trying to set up all this crap, but oh hell, I ain't gonna be able to do all that stuff. Trying to set up all this crap. I think I need to start paying to use StreamYard as much as I'm going to do it. Since I'm not paying the mechanic, I saved a few bucks. I can probably afford to give StreamYard 20 bucks a month or whatever. They are boot kissing. Damn. But, well, you guys like the thumbnail? Yeah, I thought the thumbnail was great. I mean, I half expected, you know, one of the bot systems to, like, tell me that. When I posted on Facebook, I was very afraid because I posted some memes on Facebook that are, like, censored images of this and that, and boy, oh boy, Facebook's bots are fucking savage. They kick you out of there for all kinds of shit. Oh, man. No, thanks, Daddy. I appreciate it. Thanks, Daddy. Daddy Hulk 989. I appreciate it. I do realize that these guys aren't doing the same thing that we are, but you know, there's a big deal. There's a big reason that like Neil was just talking about the narrative, right? And I don't, the narrative as it sits right now is that all of us that question these guys are a bunch of fucking loons. And that's not accurate. In fact, you know, by conflating, and we all end up in the same camp together because like they push us in the same spot. The conferences that we go to, it's like I end up sitting next to people that I don't agree with on numerous things because I don't have a problem sitting next to people that I don't agree with. But these guys are not assholes about it. These scientists, these archaeologists, scientists are complete fucking twats about it, man. I mean, you disagree with them, and the next thing you know, you're fucking advocating for the end of humanity. It's like you disagree with all scientists. It's so, yeah, when it comes to, and they often go after people like Graham, for example, who is on the internet, he's rather toothless. He doesn't go after people. He doesn't fight. It's extremely common idea. A lot of you will resonate with this. Just miss me with the negative energy, man. I don't, that's very, very many hippie types feel that way. Hey, thanks, No Borders. In real life, what color do you think Flink's ball gag is? Whatever color his wife's boyfriend's balls are. Clearly, when they let him out of the cuck chair, that's what happens. Anyway. No, we don't actually get Flint fired. He's already lost his job. He did that to himself, Moscow. Yeah, we don't need to try to get Flint fired. I've been trying. I advocated against that as soon as I heard people were trying to do it. Because look, man, this is one of the biggest reasons I end up where I am in this whole mess. It's like Flint's going around. A lot of these guys, they're trying to actively wreck people's financial, personal lives. And it's like, dude, I got a kid to take care of and shit, man. It's like, if you punch me in the wallet, dude, you're punching my kid, and now I'm going to fucking kick your ass. And so pushing that the opposite direction, it's like, if I start interfering with people's livelihoods and stuff, but I will point out when they're doing shit that's wrong. And then, you know, if that ends up making them look worse in the public sphere, well, that's on them. But honestly, it needs done. Like, somebody needs to slap at these guys. So I mean, I took like 9 months off of really making many response videos, and I come back and I see Flint telling people that fucking replicability and predictions are the same thing. I mean, these guys are off the rails. And now, really quickly, to address what they were just saying about the science side of things, I was looking at that paper earlier, and yeah, Flint is right that the calibration curve has erased a good chunk of that away. Of the missing data or the missing years, excuse me. But it's still there. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we're going to further calibrate this stuff again in the future. Now that's speculation, and I can't expect it'll necessarily fall on my side of things. But when they're talking about the massaging of the data, yeah, dude, for the thousandth fucking time, if we sit down and we use a mathematical equation that values the numbers that I put in more than the numbers that you put in, and we're arguing about our positions, I'm going to win every time. The equation favors me, and that's exactly what they did in the paper. I've read it out to you guys fucking 100 times at this point, so I'm not going to pull it up and read it again. All right. Yes, that is a recent change. All right, let's look and see. Influencer boxing match, Flint versus Dan. Dude, I'm so afraid to fight anybody. Not the cup chair. Priceless Dan. Yeah, I'm still available for like $50 an hour if you got a nice enough rack. Anyway, back to our regularly scheduled program.
You can actually come up with that.
He's just willfully ignorant and confidently wrong.
Yeah.
And he misrepresents it. Your paper that you showed had nothing to do with the pyramids. This is about all of the chronology of Egypt.
Yeah.
Like, this is not about the pyramids. The pyramids are one small facet of this paper. It's why I sent it to you, because it's really the core thing here. Now, okay, let's...
For fuck's sake, man. I was speaking about the dating of the entire Fourth Dynasty and all this. This is the problem with Flint, is it's like he's bouncing. He doesn't seem to understand the way that these discussions. It's like he's. I think Flint and Neil both thought that they were going to be able to confine the discussion, the debate down to just the pyramids. And it's like, Neil's paper right there shows that we're talking about the entire, the entire, and this is, you don't just talk about one piece of they didn't, assuming the pyramids were built in the fourth dynasty, which I think is say at very least a lot of work was done on them. Assuming that's the case, then, it's like, it's just not really a whole lot to, there's not really a whole lot of reasons to ignore the other edifices from the fourth dynasty, is there? Salvador Buttersworth says, "Hey, I didn't know you dunked this hard. Flint spent, baby. Flint spent. Vroom. And then she brushes her teeth all day after mouth activity, but wants a pot belly, a new life, but he keel, man. Holy shit. All right. Pagan Christian mathematician says, yet another super chat just to piss off Neil and Flint. And yes, I have some big issues with Snefru and also the dating of Giza. Yeah, the dating of that stuff is, they're getting better at it, but the very fact that there's a fucking argument here, all right? Like, my position on 250 years being different is something that Flint adamantly, I'm an idiot, I'm a liar, I'm confidently wrong. He's just, this is something he's going to fight over. And now, 250 years, this is not very much in the grand scheme of things. It's not about the 250 years. It's about who I am, and it's about the narrative of you don't get to challenge the officials. You don't get to be, you're not a scientist, Dan. I hear this all the time. What do you know? You haven't studied the fucking Neil's entire position. They've studied this their entire life. What do you know? It's like, I know what dendrochronology is. Yeah, fucking dumb bastard. But yeah, seriously, it's ridiculous. All right. Whose dating is this? I don't know. It's probably my dating. Flint got a school costume trunk and never like, oh, God damn it. I have to remember to press this button. Otherwise, nobody will hear it. See how I remember this time. I'm getting so good at this.
Asian modeling is. That's the last step. And that's one of the, so how do we update this? How do we get this better? We get more dates. They have new samples. We combine them with our old dates. And then we use better and more up-to-date statistical analysis of it. And that's what Bayesian modeling is. Bayesian modeling is a statistical way of understanding large numbers of radiocarbon dates. So the reason why one radiocarbon date can be off for so many different reasons. It could be that the wood, the charcoal that you're dating there was redeposited and mixed around by geology. It could be that you have an old piece of wood. It could be that you have the inner part of the tree trunk. It could be that sample was contaminated. It could be a bazillion different reasons why you never trust a single date. Instead, you want...
yeah, that's true. And as I said in my video discussing Bayesian modeling, when there isn't really a debate about the age of the site, it makes perfect sense to apply these kinds of things. I mean, it is a good way of collating data. The problem here is it's basically using they favored the later dates. It straight up says in the paper, we favored the latest dates. So if you're favoring the latest dates, then when that's happening, you're going to get your debate's going to go away, all right? And so now to them, they can call that refinement, but as someone who thinks that the pyramids were older than they do, I don't consider it refinement. I consider it massaging the data. Now, I'm not saying what Neil seems to think is when I say that they massage the data away, he thinks that what I'm saying is that they are deliberately obfuscating it. No, I'm sure that these guys believe that what they're doing. The problem is that it's a rigged game and they know it. It's like if you read these carbon dating papers, the first one from I think is Benali et al. It's like from 2001. All right, thanks. One second, Rue, and I'll get to that. It's that 2001 paper. The thing with that one right off, it says in the summary part somebody that's referenced that one later, when they reference that Benali paper, they're pointing out that its lack of serious conclusions, it didn't have conclusive evidence. It basically muddied the waters, and that made it not a very popular paper. And so they were trying to force a conclusion. And that's, I mean, it makes sense, right? You're trying to find the answer. How many times you see me complain at the end of my videos or apologize? Be sorry, guys. Once again, I just got to tell you, we need more evidence. But so again, I don't have a problem with the Bayesian modeling by and large. But if we're having a debate, it's not if we're not. I don't mean between me and Neil. I mean, on the grand scheme of things, we're discussing how old the pyramid is. If we're having this debate, it's not something that should be applied without. It basically shouldn't be applied. Now, what he's saying about individual things, if you didn't catch me last time about individual carbon dates, if you didn't catch me last time talking about it, you know, each individual atom decays at a different rate of speed. It's just, it happens. There's so many fucking atoms, right? So you get a half-life, you get an average. So it is true that, like, if you, and as our technology gets better, this actually becomes a little bit more of an issue, because we grab more smaller and smaller sample sizes, right? We get just a handful of atoms can decay from a sample, and now we can get something. But so anyway, point is this stuff is being refined, and I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is the way that these guys, we're having a discussion about the hard data, and then they start saying, well, look, we did this, and you, it doesn't matter how many fucking magic little hoops you paint for me and whatnot. The fact of the matter is you had to play games to change the hard numbers into ones that fit your narrative. Fucking period. That you're not going to get away. You don't get to dance. You don't get to sing. I'm way too basic bitch brained to fucking steer to understand. The honest to God truth is you're fucking playing games, and I'm not that dumb. I'm too smart for that shit, I guess you could say, or too street smart. Rubate says all of Egyptology is based on assumptions. Marriott assumed that they used sand to lower the boxes, and the Therapians became as evidence and known. That's exactly it. It's like this is the way that this is operated. They're constantly changing, they're constantly asserting something. Then they find some evidence that goes with it, which means they made an accurate prediction, Flint. It doesn't mean it's replicable, you fucking noodle newt. Goddamn. I have some weird verbiage. Anyway, you can't. Fuck. I could go off on this tangent forever, but apparently I ramble too much as it is, right? So.
Want large data sets. But as soon as you have a large data set, this is an old graph. We showed it already, but you get this range. Radiocarbon dates don't date precisely. They date over like 100, 200 years, especially this old, right? They have a range of like 100 years. Sometimes that overlaps with what you expect. Sometimes it doesn't. Either way, you have this range of dates, and you need to figure out, well, these all come from the pyramid, or these all come from this trench, or how do we narrow down that range to answer the question of when something dates to, right? So there's multiple ways to do that. You could do that just the simplistic way. So I don't know. You have a layer of soil, Neil. You're digging through it, right? And in that layer of soil, you have a bunch of charcoal that you send off to a lab. It comes back with a bunch of different dates. Do you have a sense of which one you'd be more likely to trust, the earliest one or the latest one?
The earliest one. The one closest to me.
The latest one, then.
Yeah, latest one. Sorry.
Yeah, and that makes sense for one reason. When you think about it, if you're moving soil around, it might have earlier material in it, and you want to understand the moment that soil was deposited.
Yeah, because right? There's reasons why it would be older, but there's not a lot of reasons why it would be younger.
Exactly.
So you the post-terminus quam thing, because if the dates are closer to you, you go with that one before you go with the older one.
Exactly. It's the same thing if you have a bunch of pottery in a layer, and you're trying to understand when this wall was built because there's this pottery underneath it. You can't take the earliest one because you're trying to understand when that wall was put down. And everything, it must be dated later than anything that's underneath it, if that makes sense, which means it's later than the latest date in there.
Yeah.
So on average, we prioritize later dates, but it gets beyond that. With radiocarbon, the issue is that we don't have a precise date. We have this range. And that's where you use something called Bayesian modeling.
All right. Okay. Yes. What there's a range. I was just explaining to you that, you know, these atoms decay at different rates, but we average them. Now, the thing is, like he says, we can do this the simplistic way. What he's not saying is the simplistic way is exactly what you would think. Say you've got 40 different samples and you've got 40 different dates. You would basically look to where the most of them clustered to. Right. So it's like if you've got a few outliers, you can kind of ignore those and look for the cluster. But that's not what Bayesian modeling does. OK, so that's this is how it was done in the olden days or the past. Right. This is the old way of doing it. And I don't really have a problem with them doing it this way, but it's not, this is no way for them to do it. And in where we're having a discussion about the age. At half playback's painful. Yes. Admin HR1XC says science is used to tell us that lead and petrol was safe, asbestos was safe, and smoking was safe. Nothing wrong with challenging what we've been told is true. No, there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, Carl Sagan said it, and Carl Sagan, a skeptic, a scientist of, you know, he is the guy. If Flint Dibble was more like Carl Sagan, I wouldn't be making videos about him like that. Carl left some big shoes to fill. We'll just put it that way. But one of my favorite quotes of his is that if you're not allowed to be skeptical of those in authority, if you're not allowed to ask skeptical questions, then you're up for grabs. And this is the fucking truth, man. And this goes for anything. I know this. I focus on archaeology and stuff, but this goes for literally anything in life. If you go to work and you're paid per part, and they won't show you the part manifest at the end of the day, this tells you how many you made. There's fuckery going on, right? This isn't complicated. This is basic shit.
Bayesian modeling, all it does, it doesn't exclude anything. He claims it excludes dates. No, it accounts for all of them. But what it does is it accounts for the stratigraphy. So the stratigraphy.
Okay, you fucking needle dick. God damn it. I don't want to have to pull up the quote. I know I've got it around here somewhere. Maybe on my screen still. I'm moving the window. Yeah, fuck. From the paper, it flat out fucking says that they excluded Bayesian, that they excluded the earlier dates. And they excluded dates that didn't align with the king. Okay. The later dates, and they excluded dates that didn't align with a known king. It flat out says they excluded dates in that paper. So, I mean, it's like maybe they don't normally do that, but they fucking did here. And so this is where it's like it gets really frustrating because this is a straight up lie on his part, or probably a lack of having read the paper, seeing how he is with everything else. I mean, anyway, let's talk about Graham for just a second. Graham Hancock is going in for heart surgery soon. Yes, big hugs to Graham. Get well soon and all that stuff. Because Graham Hancock is, for no matter what you think about his theories or how complex they are or whatever, the man was very smart. The man is, very smart. And the things that he's brought to bear, the connections that he's made there's not anybody sitting in here right now watching me that's not well aware of his work. Let's just put it that way. Love him or hate him. Oh, well, thank you, Gaza. A Sagan impression is just science, Kermit. Jeez, Dan. Yeah, I know that was, I was talking about. Excuse me. There we go.
Meaning that if you have something that is physically over or under something, that adds a weight to how it ends up modeling it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you know that this layer of soil has to be later than this layer of soil because it's on top.
It's on top.
But all of a sudden you have radiocarbon dates that are a little confused with them. So what you're saying is, well, we have extra information that we can use to refine our model. And we input this kind of extra information. That extra information could be the dates of cartouches. It could be pottery. It could be an ash layer from Santorini. It could be the stratigraphic sequencing of stuff. It's all this stuff that you throw into the model to then get your final refined resolution of this large data set and what it's shown.
And if they use the written records, if they use their mainstream timeline as this prior information, if they use that as that prioritizes their samples, then they're going to come up with that as the fucking, it's going to influence the answer. Do you see what I mean here? It's like if I did the same thing they did, but I used Graham Hancock's perspective on the pyramids or my perspective on the pyramids, and we would come up with vastly different numbers from the exact same process. And that's what I'm getting at here is it's the assigning of different things of weight of to a point here is arbitrary. Now, you know, the cartouches and stuff, I'm not going to argue with the things where they got some hard data with. There's no point. Denying evidence is worse than not knowing the basics of science, Flint. Denying evidence is pathetic. But there is evidence. There is some of these ways that they put things together that are reliant on preconceived ideas. This has plagued science since the earliest days, when in the beginning they were trying to prove the Bible, and then they were trying to disprove the Bible, and then they couldn't figure out what they were trying to do. And there's always some underlying reason, some push, something that's making these guys, something that is the narrative. Like right now, things have been for like the last 15, 20 years. Scientists tend to be well-educated. Well-educated people tend to hang around universities. Universities tend to be places that are very left-leaning. So you end up with a lot of very left-leaning. And in the last like 15, 20 years, we've seen that a lot in all manner of things, that the political narrative has gotten injected in. I mean, when you start seeing them, I remember not too long ago, they were talking about like transgender people, that they were like looking at bones and trying to identify trans people and stuff. And it's like, okay, for fuck's sake, man. I mean, we're reaching a point where it's gotten a little bit political and not very scientific. And so my point here is, that the winds blow and these guys follow narratives. And if they're going to claim that they don't follow a narrative because we're scientists, we're better than that, well, you fucking pull the other one. We all see this shit, and you got to be fucking stupid to not recognize it at this point.
And so this is what Bayesian modeling is. You don't go through and say, I like this sample and not that one. You just say, this is all the information we have, radiocarbon, stratigraphy, pottery, et cetera. Let's see statistically how that then cleans up and makes my radiocarbon dates more precise and more accurate. That's all it is. It is absolutely standard procedure. Anybody who works with large number of radiocarbon dates does this. There's nobody that does not do it at this point in time. And as Justine put in the chat, Dan is also strangely silent that the Younger Dryas Impact Hypothesis team uses Bayesian modeling on their dates in their papers.
Oh, for fuck's sake. See, this is where it's so goddamn frustrating. These guys, they're so all or nothing that it's fucking dumb. I'll say it again. Bayesian modeling is just fine most of the time. If you are having a debate and one person gets to choose that prior information and prioritizes things, you've got a fucking problem. You can no longer use it in that debate, right? It's that now both sides, both disagreeing parties, can manipulate the data through Bayesian modeling. Bayesian modeling is normally just fine. If there is any discrepancy, if there's an argument, it is no longer a very good tool, because the people with the position, the people who push the buttons, will get the answers they want. That's not complicated. And the fact that, yes, I'm sure the Younger Dryas Impact Hypothesis people use it. I'm sure that everybody uses it. It's very, very fucking standard, and it's not a bad thing. Again, it is a place that you can fucking scrub data. Casinos aren't necessarily a bad place, but you can launder money there. Fucking God.
Standard. Yeah. Like... So when I saw that part of the debate, I was just like, oh my God, Dan, you are just like a fucking liar. You are just a clown who is just making up stuff as you go and being confidently wrong. You know, nothing.
Oh, fuck. I think I'm going to maybe tomorrow night I'll do one more of these streams and to hopefully finish this video off or get close to it. And maybe I'll drink a lot then. And I'll just drink a beer every time he says that I'm confidently wrong. I'll probably be just hammered, like probably in 10 minutes. It's like he's got literally one shtick. He's a liar and he's confidently wrong and he's stupid. He just makes stuff up. It's like, no. You have to like pay attention to my words, you fucking needle dick. Hey, Rocky. Yes, we're doing some de-dunking up in here. What's up, Squanches? Hey, Critter. Hey, man, I really appreciate it. God, there's so many of you. I can't even keep up anymore. I remember back in the day when I could talk to every one of you and it wouldn't bog the whole stream down. Love seeing you guys here.
Nothing about this stuff, and you're just saying we're selecting dates here and there when not a single date has been selected. I just explained the logic of how radiocarbon works and how that works. That's how it works. It's just pure honest stuff. The paper that you showed is not even about the pyramids. It's about all of Egypt.
Yeah.
Which this problem exists all over Egypt, but it's been resolved now. Or so it seems.
Yeah. That's crazy. So,
this is what's called a Gish Gallop. You know what that is?
Yeah, when you just throw stuff at the debater, your opponent, and just see which one sticks.
Yeah, and that's what Dan did to you.
Yeah.
Whoa. I gish galloped him. No, dude. No. If I was going to gish gallop Neil, it would have been a whole lot different. All I did was kick the tire. I'd already talked about this before. I'd already made a video covering this in the past. And so to accuse me of gish galloping this, Neil should have done his research into what I had to say on this kind of stuff instead of just what everybody else said and assuming that he knew my position, especially after he saw that I said that I didn't have a place that I was going to hang my hat on the age. But, you know, that would have taken some actual work. So instead, why am I looking like Maynard? Maynard was a creep in this scene and you're in Maynard's position. No, dude. I don't even know what the dude's name is, but yeah, I'm the creep in this scene. These are all my bitches. I mean, Bruce Willis, not so much, but the other three, totally.
That's what.
Yeah, there's some gish galloping going. Yeah, I noticed that.
So okay, just to finish up this radio card section, I have one last clip I want to play of Dan, and this one, guys, I find to be funny. This is what I find really funny. This goes back to that old wood conversation.
The problem with this, it's troubled us for a long time, but now are just a couple hundred years off. Science freaks the fuck out, and 15 years later, they're massaging the data away. They say at the beginning of this paper, we got a problem with this, it's troubled us for a long time, but now
it doesn't make sense. Because all of the evidence is saying kufa, 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 and then you test the wood, and it comes back a little bit older. Yeah. Not a lot older, not thousands of years, 100 years, and which means that it's either reused, which I think the most, I actually think the convincing thing to me is before I even read this paper, people were saying they're reusing old wood. It's recycled wood.
Why don't we see that in the 7th dynasty? Why don't we see that? Why don't we see that in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 15th, 16th, 26th dynasty? We only see it.
Which we do. Notice we just pointed out we do. Oh, he's completely wrong. He's lying and making this up.
Oh my God. No, we don't see the same discrepancy in the later dynasties. The fucking 3rd, 4th, and 5th. The same graph that he's showing, like we went through last time. You can see it right there. Yes, old wood is part of this, but we don't. There's a place where the data gets that further apart from the mainstream narrative than it fucking normally is. And that is what I'm talking about. See, this is stuff that Neil should have researched. Again, this stuff was all available in my stuff and already. And really quickly, I want to share. Let me share this really fast. What's that share screen button? Press this button. And no. Oh, that's what I have to do here, I think. Sorry. How am I getting so dumb with this? I had this shit. I'll just fucking copy these images real quick. Anyway, I apologize. But, you know, I didn't realize that Flint, like I told you last time, I didn't watch this all the way through. I didn't realize that Flint was going to kick the tires on that. So anyway, here we go. Well, come on. No, I just. God fucking damn it. Anyway, we'll watch them a little bit more while I fucking finish that.
Did you exist the entire.
Father, that pissed me off. He just lied to my face and I took him for his word, man.
Yeah.
Don't so we do see it. So you're saying we do see that.
Let's go back to the paper. The paper's about all of Old and Middle Kingdom. This is a debate not just even in Egypt.
I should have caught that. You're right. I should have caught that after reading that paper.
This debate is not just in Egypt either. It's in the Aegean Bronze Age. This old high and low chronologies.
It's so this has been going on. Mediterranean.
Yeah, it's been.
Oh my fucking Christ! Yeah. Yes. There's a debate there's always some discrepancy on the debates, like we were just talking about. This carbon dating stuff has a problem everywhere. Is there a big debate in the Aegean over the dating of certain things? Is there a big debate on when the Parthenon was built in Crete? Is there a big argument about that? How about the fucking pyramids? This is where the difference is. These guys are comparing apples to oranges with that shit right there. And again, if you look at, yes, there will be some discussion. There will be some discrepancy in the 26th dynasty, but there's not going to be the same that we see in the 4th. All right. Now I'll fucking add this here. All right. So first of all, here is, I believe, the title of the dealio. Okay. Nope. Right here. This was the one that. Remember Flint said they didn't remove any of the stuff from, they didn't remove any samples? What did I say right there? Those that could not be ascribed to a given queen's reign were omitted. removed some samples. Now, it wasn't a whole lot of samples, but they removed some samples. Hang on, let's get a different one in here now. Is this one going to be okay? And then how did that fucking end up with the same thing? God damn it. That's not supposed to be like that. Oh shit. No, I removed the video. No worries. I haven't loaded up the screens with this many things in the past. Okay. This is the title of the paper. 2009. This is the first, and this is where they did their Bayesian modeling, and there was one other thing that they said that was noteworthy. I believe it's this one. Unless I just did the same thing again. God damn it! They move them around. It's changing their position, and I just left the images with the same bullshit name. All right, here we go. Now, this is the one that proves that what the parameters were. The completion date of construction was deemed the most suitable parameter. So, no, like, what was the completion date of construction? Well, that's up for debate here in Egypt, boys, now, isn't it? So this is what I mean. If you let me pick the completion date of construction, you're going to end up with a very different set of numbers than if you let Flint pick the completion date of construction. This isn't complicated. The thing is all you have to do is read it and think about it for a minute. This is where it veers from science into being it's ideologically bullshit, I guess you could say. He's able to manipulate the data with, and by calling it science, he hurts science. I mean, it's like, it's not my fault that people have a problem with that kind of stuff.
Going on since radiocarbon.
Not just the pyramid. It's all over. No,
it's been going on since radiocarbon was developed.
Oh my god.
I wish I was a little more prepared on this section. I'm not gonna lie.
I think you did a good job.
I'm glad that I'm learning this now, though. So.
Good. But no, this is an issue all over the Eastern Mediterranean. It's been going on since radiocarbon was developed. And personally, while I'm friends with some of those people, while they claim they've resolved the issue, I doubt they actually have. I'm guessing this debate will continue to rage.
Of course it will. It's as long as there's people that have different opinions on things, it's going to happen. And I bet you, now I haven't looked into this stuff, but I bet you a dollar to a donut that if you go look around and find places where two different scientists are arguing about the age of a certain area, you're probably going to find that they use Bayesian modeling to get different results. This isn't complicated. Again, this is really simple stuff when you look at it. So like there's things that you can do. You can apply Bayesian modeling as scientifically as you want, but you out the gate are you're making inferences. All right. Again, if there's a debate there, you're going to have a problem. So when you're biased, you can't listen or read. You're a pseudo skeptic. Yeah. These guys are a little funny that way. It's kind of pathetic, but what do you do?
In various ways or another. But it does not, by the way, mean that the pyramids date earlier than Khufu. It just means that we'd redate Khufu's reign earlier if we were to take it. That's actually what it means to Egyptologists.
Which Dan ends up deciding on at the end of this debate.
No, he claims it's a missing dynasty or something.
Right. But no, but, yeah. But he says the reason why is because of this dating. So he thinks, he actually says in this debate at some point, I think Khufu did build the pyramid, but it happened 200, 300 years before.
Yeah.
Well, what are we debating then? You know?
Well, Neil, you fucking dipshit. If you would have paid any attention to my content, you would already have known that was my position. And the other thing that's worth pointing out there is that we're debating the age of the goddamn pyramid, you bonehead. It's just that you put me in the camp of people that think the pyramids have to be a kajillion years old. Therefore, you're like, I can prove Khufu built the pyramid, derp, derp, derp. You think you're going to waltz in and kick my ass because you didn't do your fucking homework, son. You fucking spent all your time sucking on Flint's fucking hairy little nuts and you learned nothing. You didn't even learn how to fucking dendrochronologize or fucking anything about carbon dating. What did you learn? You learned how to formulate an ideological fucking nightmare is what you did. You came to that debate with you fucking It's no wonder that you're crying right now. Oh, Neil's crying.
All right, let's go on, because he says a really funny whopper here that I just think is one of the funniest things he says.
All right, let's hear it. And again,
that's like saying, why aren't we building things the same way as people in the 1600s?
At the very beginning of
400 years, a long time.
At the very beginning of dynastic Egyptian times, we have an alignment with the radiocarbon dating. It's just when they start these crazy building projects. And hang on, the first guy that starts these crazy building projects builds three times more than anybody else,
which is why he probably uses old wood.
This is the one time in history we have massive amounts of records of them importing cedars from Lebanon. There was no shortage of wood in Egypt at this time. No.
That's true, too. Is the only time they have records of cedar?
First of all, no, there's plenty of import going on. But second of all, if they need to import a bunch of wood, clearly there's a shortage of wood in Egypt.
Right.
The logic makes no sense.
The same logic applies later on.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is like having an engineer fucking draw up a blueprint, and then the foreman comes to him and says, hey, dickhead, how am I going to run wires in the same bay as the HVAC guys? You're going to try to burn this place to the ground? This is... Okay. I covered this last time, but I think it's important we'll cover this again. Imagine you're getting all of this wood shipped from Lebanon. And so you get these raw cedars, and they show up to your job site. And you start to clean them up and make lumber. And you've got some waste, some leftover. What do you think they did with that? Do you think they used that to make ash for that fucking job right there? Or do you think they threw it in the trash and went and got grandpa's old fucking high chair? And this is these guys are fucking autistic sometimes. And I don't mean that like a smart autistic person. I mean like the short bus riding fucking dude. I'm being an asshole. Sorry, but goddamn, dude.
For the ball back part where he's like, didn't carry. So that means there's evidence that they're doing this. He uses evidence against it.
It's the silliest argument I've ever heard. Why would they need to use old wood? They could get cedar imported thousands of kilometers, hundreds of kilometers away. Like, what do you mean? That clearly shows there's a wood shortage. So, of course, they're going to prioritize old trash wood for making mortar.
Silly.
See, now that's, of course, this is the logic of somebody who does their stuff on paper and then they wonder why things don't work out. Because in the real world, I mean, think about the efficiency there. You're going to have waste from those logs right there at the job site. This is stupid. They're going to have wood that was contemporary. I mean, and again, it's worth pointing out that when I said that things were in alignment, there's not enough there that you could argue that there's a problem. All right, we'll put it that way. When there's 250 years off, you could start saying that things were problematic. Hey, thanks, 757. I appreciate it. Blow your top on my coworker for me. Okay, I'll. What's your coworker's name? I'll call him names. We'll see what we got. Oh fuck! There's like 30 people that watch Flint stuff. Flint gets a lot of views sometimes, but I think a lot of it is hate watchers. In all honesty, those guys, they do the opposite. They download your stuff and watch it on their streaming software or on their editing software. They don't give you clicks. They try to stifle us. They try to, unless especially somebody like me, scream at them a lot. They would rather that people just didn't see videos that are like, pointing out that Flint doesn't know the difference between replicability and predictions. For example, that's the kind of thing that's a little problematic for a guy like Professor Dave to say, hey, look at how smart this Flint Dibble guy is. And then he's over here like saying stuff that Professor Dave would normally say, hey, you are a complete fucking idiot. And I can't believe that anybody let you out of the fucking cage to talk for a little bit, which is why I put Flint in the Gimp box when we're done with these little sessions. My smoke of choice up here in Spokane, it would be 50 folds. Nowadays, it would be 50 folds. Peeled out, but those fucking dickheads at 54, man, I'll go off on a tangent on the side real quick. The weed industry in Washington is doing the same fucking thing the computer industry did in the mid 80s, early 90s, and it sucks. It's when the big boys start buying up the little guys, you are fucked. Like there was a grow op here like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, called Rick James, and it was like a mother and her son, and they were top shelf stuff at like mid range prices, and they got bought up by a big boy company, and that big boy company just killed their strains. Fuck that noise. It's buds are legal over here. So yeah, we ended up with the same thing we did in the computer world. Like in the early days, if you go buy a Byte magazine from 1976, you'll find like 80 different manufacturers of just all kinds of goofy fucking computers and different companies. And now if you look now and it's like, you know, you've got fucking Microsoft and Apple, right? A handful of other people that dip their toes in, but nobody who runs the show like that. And back in these days, I mean, there was 25 different fucking operating systems, right? More than that. It's crazy. But anyway, I digress. I don't got time to be growing, man. On the recent rants, remind me of the good old days on the Dunkey. No, thanks, 757. I've been trying to do my best to. You might not have been here earlier, my friend, but when they were, when I started the stream off, I was talking about how this is, these guys, I feel like I kind of let them get off the hook for like almost a year, like 9 months or so. I just kind of was trying not to do as much the de-dunking side of things and to be more just doing research. And it's hard to keep content up that way because the research side of things is often clunky. And I need to get paid, or otherwise I'm going to have to do something else, and that's not going to work. So I need to make sure that I need to continue to make content while I do my research. And this stuff is pretty simple for me because I guess my bullshit meter is pretty high. I can smell bullshit, I guess, better than some. I don't know. Maybe it comes from being on the streets for so long.
Yeah.
As Justine, thanks for being here. Egyptologist, that archaeologist woman. There's records in at least the second dynasty. So even wow. earlier of importing. There's records later. There's plentiful evidence of importing wood. Egypt is notoriously short of wood throughout this entire period. It constantly needs to import wood. It's why those boats that are buried by the pyramids are so impressive. It's one of the biggest finds of wood we have.
I just realized how silly that is. You're actually right. They're importing wood from a totally different country all the way north. That means they don't have it.
And not using railroads, not using cars, not using trucks. They got to bring this wood. You know, like with donkeys and humans.
Yeah, okay.
And so, you know, maybe some ships are part of the way. So, like, there's a major wood shortage of high quality wood in Egypt. We know this. It's well documented in multiple dynasties. And of course, they're going to use shit used up wood to turn into mortar, right? This is super logical. If your wood is no longer useful for building or for making a tool, you can burn it.
There's no wood today, still.
Exactly. Exactly. God, he's so stupid. It's just like, he's so fucking stupid and toxic and such a liar. It just pisses me off so much.
Yeah, you know, Flint would be fired. Take care, Rocky. We'll see you, buddy. Thank you. Flint would be fired from any kind of like foremans of a job site. It's like, yeah, I was talking about the Cedars of Lebanon just a minute ago, WD Trip. If you bring wood to the job site, the wood is from, you're going to cut it into timbers that you need. That's when you're going to build your stuff there, especially in these days. You didn't have factories that cut wood to size, and then you went and bought a bunch of 2x4s. You bought cedars from Lebanon, you got fucking raw cedars. So they would strip the branches and shit off, but you'd probably still have bark on them from what I understand. At any rate, even if the bark was removed, there's going to be waste left over from the making of lumber. And that would be the first thing you would use to burn in order to make, sorry, my son texted. I had to look at that. He's just telling me he got his math grade up. Mm-hmm. I love that kid. He's all right. Anyway, I went over this a minute ago, but it feels like it would need to go over again because these guys are just like going about it over and over again. There would be at least a good amount of, sure, there would have been old wood in there. I won't argue that some of that wood would come from Grandpa's high chair being, but my position is, do you think there was more waste wood left over from them making lumber on the site, or do you think that they've got it more from burning other places? At any rate, we should, I think that in all honesty, if they could find cedar stuff, that would probably be the best way to go because we would know where the cedar came from, right? So anyway, let me see if he's texting me about anything else. Worked his ass off for this grade, man. I'm proud of that kid. All right.
And makes me laugh tremendously because he's just so stupid. As one of my longtime friends, Frank Lamenti, Dan's brain is one. So that was, you know, that was fun. I think everybody here should have a decent idea of the date of the pyramid and why it's based on so many different pieces of information and chronology all over Egypt and the Eastern Mediterranean that we are working to lock together. It's not just one thing or another. It's thousands, hundreds of thousands probably of data points at this point.
That locks it in. Graffiti, papyrus, all types of stuff. Yeah.
Pottery, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of things like that. But now, this is where shit does get a little tricky, is if, say we went to the Parthenon, and say the Parthenon was built out of just pure stone. There's no, you know, just it's a stone structure, right? We know when the Parthenon was built today, but it's also a tourist site and has been for a long time. So say, for instance, humanity got like wiped out bad, right? Like there's like two families left. Where's Noah's Ark? And 20,000 years from now, some wannabe scientist who calls himself an archaeologist goes and roots around and finds this old site. Now, is he going to think that maybe the site was built at the same time as the other weird highways that are next to it? I mean, they both have the same trash from pizza boxes and candy bars and freaking video game manuals and shit. I mean, it's like, it isn't really that complicated. When you, it's really funny how like these guys that get so high-minded with their stuff that they miss basic stuff. Probably the best example of this in science in general is, in my mind, is the KT impact, the Chicxulub crater. You know, Alvarez, like I was saying earlier, the science originally was like trying to prove the Bible, and then science switched to trying to disprove the Bible. Well, with fucking Alvarez was in, they were steering away from anything cataclysmic. And so they began calling it punctuated equilibrium. Before that, it was cataclysmic, and then it was gradualistic. It was in the early days when it was biblical, we had floods and meteors and comets. And then after that, it was slow erosion and evolution, and everything happens all. And then after they accept the Chicxulub crater, well, then at the KT impact, then we get punctuated equilibrium. This fucking happens in 1980. All right. This is something a child could tell you, that sometimes it rains a little bit and we have mild erosion. Sometimes it fucking floods and it washes away the side of a hill. This isn't complicated, but it was something science was having trouble wrapping its head around, because people like one size fits all rules, and you scientists, for all their intelligence, are quite often very single-minded. And this is a great example of that right here. Dan's the man. Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys so much for all of the kind words and stuff here. Does Dick Bones look bigger in Flint's tiny baby hands? God damn it. Dan's love on this channel is off the charts. Aw, shucks. George goes live in 2 minutes. I don't give a fuck. You quit advertising my other competitors. I'm changed. George Howard, I assume. Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. I wouldn't watch him until you're done watching me. I mean, you can if you want, but I've heard that people that do that end up catching the big gay, so.
All right, let's go on to a part which I thought you handled really well, but Dan this also lied about. And this is one that I think will amuse some people in the audience. And yeah, this is actually, I think, one of your really good contributions here, like a unique point that people have not really compiled well. And this is really interesting. Let's show this.
This is a list of people who either have... I hear this all the time from people saying, these scholars, they don't know anything about architecture or engineering. They don't know anything about construction. Well, that's actually false. This is a list of people who either have dual PhDs or dual master's degrees in architecture or engineering and Egyptology. From all these people have contributed to Egyptology for over hundreds of years, 200 years at least now, going back to the 1800s up until today. Some of them are still living. Obviously, Arthur Callender is still alive, still writing, still teaching. If you go to the next page, there's even more. I just wanted to put together a list. There's probably way more than this. This is all I could find in a short period of time. These are people with either dual masters, dual PhDs, who study engineering, architecture, and Egyptology. So the idea that these are people, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know anything about construction. That's not true. They do. So
I would point out that you go through these names, you're probably going to find very few of these guys that are on that 20-year timeline thing. And that's one of the biggest problems.
So what he means by 20-year timeline is that the Great Pyramid was built in 20 years, which, again, right. Nobody thinks. We have dates of Khufu's 27th year in the papyri mirror. We have them in a quarry. We know that he ruled for a minimum 27, 28 years, which means that we think it took at least 27, 28 years.
So this is just a...
Oh, my fucking Christ. First of all, did you hear what I said there? I don't know for sure, but I bet if you would ask these guys. So, but Flint says, Dan's lying, makes shit up. And it's like, no, I just got through telling you, this is a shooting from the hip reaction to your new information. And yes, the difference between 27 years and 20 years is negligible in this case. The idea that these things were getting done by old school technical means in fucking 30 years, 50 years is insane. Fucking sane. And again, this is the difference between I wouldn't go slap the dick bone out of Flint's hand and tell him how to do his job. I worked construction for couple of fucking decades. This guy is, dude, we've got a north-south freeway they've been building in Spokane for fucking 20 years. And it is going to be done in another 15 years or so. And they're using cranes and pouring concrete and using rebar and all kinds of fancy bullshit. It's a national project. It's not going to fucking cut it on this stuff. I'm sorry. And this is where it just is absolute. These motherfuckers need to go build a goddamn, give them two pallets of bricks and make them build a fucking burn pit in their backyard. And then they'll figure out how hard it is to align these things. They'll figure out how hard it is to stack. Then maybe the idea of them getting it done in 20 years might start to add up, to sink in. But instead we get, like, I don't know if you guys have seen the Night Scarab video you probably have, where he's 20-year pyramid and how it could be done in 7 years or some such shit. It's like, yeah, sure, absolutely. My car is capable of going 200 miles an hour, so when I go pick up my son, I'm going to get in it and be at his school in about 2 seconds. Oh, wait, there's a fucking universe out there that I have to contend with. I don't just get to write it on a piece of paper and just make it happen the way I want to. Honestly, that 20-year timeline, 27 years, whatever you want, there is no fucking way that these people weren't building their, if assuming that these were all built in the fourth dynasty with old school technology, there is no fucking way these weren't taking 100 years apiece, that grandpa starts his sons and he starts his grandsons and fucking it's, and his gets finished in his day, that there are three pyramids that every one of them would be working on at any one time, their own, their sons and their grandsons. Otherwise, how the fuck would you get these things? And obviously this didn't last for very long because it's fucking complicated. So yeah, it's just, anyway, this is just the differentiating between 20 years and 27 years on this is laughable.
A non sequitur.
He says even worse in a second. Now we'll play. He actually lies even harder. Oh. But what he's trying to say is all these people with engineering experience do not think the pyramid could have been built in 20 years.
I read that as he's basically saying these people are not mainstream anyway, so who cares? And they're all mainstream, whatever that
means. We'll get into who they are in a second because he's about to make a bigger lie. He's about to lie even worse.
You'll see that from 20 to 30 year construction of the timeline of the pyramid. Oh,
look at
that.
I mean, 20 to 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years right there, because
yeah, 30 years is actually more what scholars think. We think it took at least 27, 28, because we know that Khufu reigned for at least that long.
But hold on a second.
Wait, so did I just not lie, Flint? Oh, you fucking retard. I swear to fucking God, this man has, fuck. There's few people that I've interacted with on the internet that I truly think needed to be shoved in the lockers more as a kid. And he is one of them. God damn it, dude. I mean, fuck, his parents should have sent him to fucking camp with the Catholic kids or something. I don't fucking, something needed to happen to that boy.
Okay, this is so mind blowing right now. He has no idea if what he just said is correct.
Nope.
He just goes, I probably don't believe this. He doesn't even know any of the people.
Yes, I did say I don't
know who they are because they're extremely famous.
He's literally talking out of his ass right now.
They're extremely famous people.
I said that I didn't know.
I recognize. He says he doesn't know. Watch.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, in all honesty,
you're saying these people don't agree with the 20.
I would say you'd have to go through there with a fine tooth comb, but most of these guys are basically unknowns.
No, these are mainstream scholars. He just lied, dude. Damn.
In the world of Egyptology, yeah, there's a half a dozen people that are fucking that you see all the time. Yeah, there's not a bunch of people that are known. So yeah, they're basically unknowns, meaning I can't go through there and say, I know this dude's position on this. I know this dude's position on this. That's what I'm getting at here. I'm not saying they're fucking nobodies in their paper. Their position doesn't matter. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. I don't know. I don't need to tell my audience this, but apparently you tell Neil and Flint this. I read science papers, you dipshits. All of that. All the time. It's a fucking... I don't think that these guys are stupid. I'm telling you that I don't know who they are. So, like, when it comes to archaeoastronomy, I can name two prominent archaeoastronomers besides people like Dr. Martin Sweatman who've dabbled into it. And I wouldn't say he's a dabbler. I'm just saying that he's more of a recent addition to it, where Dr. Giulio Magli, that is his profession. And then there is Ed Krupp, and I guess I could name one other. One is Vincenzo Orofino, and I know him because I've cited his work on the Orion-Giza correlation so much. And then you guys got, like, Robert Bavall and whatnot, right? So I'm really into archaeoastronomy, and I can name, like, five dudes? Fucking, he lies even more. He said that he didn't know who these people were, and they fucking he did.
What yeah. You just made? You just do this right from your asshole right here.
Oh, oh so bad. Fucking oh, Christ on a crack.
Most of these are unknown. How do you know?
Let's show who they are. Let's show who they are.
You keep playing. He goes, I've been doing this for 3 years. I'm not kidding. He says in this clip, I've been doing this for 3 years, and if there's someone who's someone important, I would know. 3 years? That's nothing.
I'm saying that I don't know who these people are. You're right. I was lying. I did know every one of those fucking names on the list. You got me. Good job. Fucking God.
And by the way, even if you've been doing this for 20 years, who cares? Why is that you automatically should know everything?
If you've been doing this for 3 years, you should know who some of these people are, is my response.
That's a good point, too.
He has made dozens of videos on
ancient Egypt. Highlighting how little research he's doing, actually.
Yeah.
He's admitting, I'm not doing shit in my 3-year career.
He's literally making money off of people. People are donating money to him and watching him, thinking that he knows stuff.
Yeah,
and he doesn't know.
Oh, I'm letting him finish saying that.
Asking questions, that's kind of silly, yeah.
It's just.
Yeah. I don't. Know the names of all the scientists out there. I don't know the names of all the papers that I read. What I do know is the takeaway, the data that's in there and all that stuff. It isn't complicated, boys. This isn't complicated at all. But apparently it's really difficult to fathom. Come on. The whole point, the whole big deal here, obviously, is if I am supposed to know every scientist when I'm reading a paper, or these guys are going to pick at me. It's like I think you see what I'm getting at. It's like, literally, there's nothing I can do. Dan didn't tie his shoes with the right color shoelaces this week. Dan didn't comb his beard this morning. Like, dude, for fuck's sake, man. I don't know all the scientists that do all these things. I don't know all the people that have written all the... I can't remember the Frenchman's name that did the fucking big ramp thing, but I can remember that he's French, and I can remember that he's got this interesting hypothesis about a ramp being used to construct the pyramid, an exterior ramp and an internal ramp. Like, I paid attention to the important part. You guys... Sorry, Flint. After meeting you on the internet, I don't care to know any fucking scientist's
just
name.
Let's see who there is. Let's see. Come on, they can't zoom in here. All right.
Frank Bonnier's number was a big one.
That's what your wife said.
They're all
big
ones. Dude, Emile Barazé right here. He's the guy who excavated the fucking Sphinx. He cleared out most of the sand around the Sphinx. Or Belzoni, Giovanni Battista Belzoni. He's the guy that first explored Khafre's pyramid, the middle pyramid, one right next to Khufu. He's like one of the biggest names in the early 19th century for Egyptology. Baraz was one of the biggest names in the early 20th century. We're talking about the history of the field here. Ludwig Borchardt, he excavated Amarna, you know, where Akhenaten is from.
Dan just...
Why did Flint have to pause the screen there to pinpoint the names? Because they were going too fast to fucking stop and read them in real time. You could just catch the few that your eyes caught as they scroll by. Yeah, I didn't get to go through with a fine-tooth comb like I said I would need to do. Instead, I had to shoot from the hip because I was having a real conversation in real time. Just like I'm not going to go looking up all those scientists right now. But yeah. Post all their names and pause it. And I'm sure I can go through it. And fucking, oh, yeah, I recognize that motherfucker. Throw a bunch of names on there. And but anyway, yeah, go ahead and laugh at me about that stuff because it's literally all you've got, Mr. I don't know the difference between predictions and fucking replicability.
Just admitted. He literally just admitted in that debate, I don't know shit about Egyptology. Because by him saying these are all unknowns, I mean, imagine if you're a sports person.
Oh my fucking Christ. All right, before he goes off on this horrible, horrible metaphor, I'll tell you why this metaphor is so horrible. Imagine I'm telling you about a sporting event last night, and I don't know who hit the home run, I don't know who made the touchdown or kicked the field goal or whatever. I just know that it happened and that the Mariners won X over X. That's not a very good recount of what happened. It's the kind of thing you would expect somebody who doesn't watch football at all to give you. Now, if I was to go in there and say, I know, that's the kind of thing that basically anybody who is into football will know all of the players' roster of their local team. That's just part of the whole deal because that's part of the game. Now, when it comes to Egyptology, you have some big name actors, and then you have some people who are not. Just like I know who Mark McGwire is, but and I know pretty much everybody on the St. Louis Cardinals from when I was growing up, but I don't fucking know fuck all about baseball players nowadays because I don't pay attention to that shit anymore. If I watch the news, I can still see that the Mariners won, right? So what I'm getting at here is that the idea, if I read an Egyptology paper, the data is much more important than the 24/7 score at the end of a football game. It is what matters to a sports enthusiast. Who made that field goal is what matters. But to looked like I lost the internet there for a second. Did I know Sammy Sosa's wife? I don't even know who Sammy Sosa is. I'm kidding. Dan is proper sound. I trust Dran over these other fools. Well, thanks, guys. This is pretty hilarious.
Football. All right, you got Jerry Rice, you got Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, Brett Favre, and you're naming all these greats from all the different decades of NFL, and someone looks at it and goes, I don't know, those are all unknowns. This person does not watch football at all, doesn't know anything.
Exactly. That's the Hall of Fame of Egyptology.
Dude, right.
Engelbach down here wrote the first major authoritative book on how the pyramids were built. He's executed already. He wrote the first.
I didn't realize how embarrassing this was until just now, actually. That's a good point.
It's ridiculously embarrassing. Then you go on to more modern people. Frank Monnier and David Lightbody have a major book on the pyramids and how they're built. You have Dennis Stocks, who's the main experimental archaeologist.
I got his book.
And stuff like that. Like the pairing over here, again, he's the guy that explored the shafts in the Great Pyramid. These guys are like some of the top major names in Egyptology.
Dan said these are unknowns.
Yep, I don't know all the different people that are Egyptologists. It's crazy. Again, I read the papers. And I read a lot of stuff, but you know, I've got books on my shelf that I can't remember the fucking authors of. All right, and that's not uncommon when it comes to somebody that reads a lot of reference material. So anyway, it is really funny that they're just going to keep hammering at this like it proves some big thing. Like I didn't say I'd need to go through the list with the fine tooth comb. I'm looking at it as it's playing in real time. You see, good God. Oh, hello, Xanazafi. How are you doing? Trust is the key in this game, I found. Yes, Timmy. I could not agree with you more. It's an unfortunate thing that you can't really trust a lot of people nowadays. But here we are. Sad but true. It's all about transparency if you're not certain saying that. Yeah, that's just exactly it, dude. It gets pretty goddamn irritating, but whatever.
He just lies.
He just says these are lies. Like, just no, lies. You don't know Troy Aikman, Jerry Rice, and Emmitt Smith. You don't watch. You're not an expert, dude. You know.
And I think that this list it's double in two ways. One, it really does show that Dan is just lying and speaking confidently and whatever. He's a con artist. Is what he is. He just says whatever. It's not that I don't even think he thinks he's lying. He just fucking says whatever pops into his fucking head. Like a fucking clown.
Jimmy just spews shit straight from his asshole.
Yeah.
None of it. It makes any sense at all. He just says it.
And then you have this list of some of the top Egyptologists of all time that all have degrees and experience as architects and engineers. And the lies that Ben Van Kirkwick and Dan Richards Jimmy Corsetti make about how Egyptologists have no experience building stuff. And it turns out that actually the Hall of Fame of Egyptology, going back 200 years up until today, they have plentiful hands-on actual architecture and engineer experience.
Right.
And it's like...
Architects and engineers don't do construction, you fucking needle dick. God damn, dude. This is like the carbon dating guy trying to tell somebody who digs up fucking samples how to dig in the ground. You don't know, you dumb fuck. This is why go to any mechanic page and watch them scream about engineers. Okay. Talk to any commercial electrician or commercial HVACer or commercial plumber, and they will have the same fucking problem with architects. These people don't know. There's a thing in construction called liquid damages, which consistently happens to big construction projects. And that is when you get to a certain date that you're too fucking late on, you have to pay every single fucking day, or usually it's by the day. And this is something where the engineers and the architects have underestimated the amount of time it takes to build something. And it happens all the fucking time. I guarantee there are billions being paid in liquid damages every fucking year in this country. It is So yeah, look, give me a fucking guy that's a Mason. I don't mean a Freemason. Give me a guy that fucking stacks bricks for a living. Give me a guy that works with big rocks. Give me a guy that actually do the stuff with their fucking hands, and then have them explain to you why there's the problem. This is like when the people that are into geometry come and say, well, you can square the pyramid with the 2, 4, 5. It's like, ah, fucking damn it. Okay. Sorry. When architects show up on the job site, dude, and fucking these guys are, you can hand them a fucking drill and they don't know how to operate it. Anyway, I got to scream about that shit for a while, but this is hilarious.
And that's why this list, I'm going to keep this list. I might make a
fucking more than Chris Dunn. I bet you all those people know more about architecture and engineering than Chris Dunn. He's not even a PhD engineer. He's just some guy that worked as a machinist.
And he wasn't even a machinist. No, Justine, who's in the chat, finally got into a
machine. He wasn't even that?
He worked HR most of the time.
So he's just some guy.
He's just some guy.
The guy who takes a ruler and goes to the Serapium and looks at it.
That's exactly it. And the ruler doesn't match up. And I love this. It's just too funny.
Now this is why Neil looked so fucking dumb or is so ill-prepared for the debate. See what now don't get me wrong. You will find me on stage with Jimmy Corsetti and Ben Van Kirkwick and Christopher Dunn. I haven't been on stage with Christopher Dunn, but he's been on a live stream with me. I've loaned a friend his books, my friend that lives right here, Sean Mooney, but Christopher's mailed me all of his books. I am friends with these guys. I also have made videos debunking every one of those motherfuckers, and they are my friends. But I've made videos addressing all their stuff and disagreeing with every one of their positions, every one of them on certain positions. So, and my positions in these videos are, especially the ones that I made of the electric pyramid one, any of the ones that I made before me and Flint really got into it, these had good comments from archaeologists and stuff. They were happy to see Dan beating up on Jimmy Corsetti, but I was polite about it. I mean, me and Jimmy were friends, so you could see the videos got Jimmy commenting nicely, politely, because I didn't come in there and say, he's stupid. He's so full of shit. He's a liar. And I didn't do that to Flint until Flint started fucking lying. When Flint was openly lying on the Joe Rogan Experience, and that part's so easy to prove, the part that I just saw and I was like, he's got to be lying more than this, was when he was just like about the racism accusations, right? He just waffled on that so hard. It was like, okay, I need to fine tooth comb this. And yes, when I say I need to fine tooth comb this, I mean, I need to do more work. So that's what I did, is I went through and did more work. It doesn't mean that I'm lying. But yeah. But anyway, to return what I was saying there, by conflating me with by making it like me, Jim, Ben, and basically those three all believe in ancient high technology and I don't. So that right there is like the huge dividing line in my mind between me and them. And I'm not saying that they're fucking wrong or they're stupid. This is not my position. I am way slower to accept ancient high technology than they are. But if you put us all in the same camp, and you say, Dan believes the same thing that these guys do, and then you show up to debate me, you're going to end up with my foot in your ass. That's really all there is to it, because you're going to be ill-prepared. Also, you should probably read up on the basic science of this stuff first, too. I mean, my God.
This is crazy. Ben Kirkwick was lying right to Matt's face and their podcast multiple times throughout that, because I'm not an expert, but I'm noticing things that I can tell that he's lying about. Like, he told him there's no inscriptions of anything related to bulls in the Serapium. Not true. There's a whole bunch of shit about the bulls and how old they were and which pharaoh stuff. Oh, we never found any bulls. Yeah, we found tons of bulls buried. That's the Apis bull. He said, we don't even know the name of this Serapium until modern Egyptologists named it the Serapium. That's not true either. It's called the House of Apis in Egyptian.
Yeah.
So these guys just lied to Matt, and Matt just buys it.
It's just absurd. And they go around. I have this clip that I sometimes show when I'm giving talks for Egyptologist crowd, and where Ben Van Kirkwick tells Joe Rogan that none of these people have any experience doing engineering or architecture. They're not interested in how things were built. And everybody in the crowd are just like, what are you talking about? This is our career. This is what we do. And it's just It's like they just completely spread this lie that there's no engineering or architecture experience in the field of archaeology and Egyptology. When you go and you look at this list, all these people are have excavated, they've done engineering and architecture, and they've explored and published on the pyramids and on Egypt. And all of them, like they're the Hall of Fame. They're the Hall of Fame. They are the 200 years, many, I'd say half of the most famous Egyptologists ever are on this list.
Yep.
So it's like you pulling this together is phenomenal for this reason, because it's just like, this is so in your face. Fuck you guys. You're just lying about us nonstop. Yep. And then.
This is like when the officer that was fucking sitting back at the fucking base camp and pushing a pencil gets the same combat patch that all the other guys that were getting shot at gets, and gets to put it on his arm like he was getting shot at too. You don't get to claim that you know how to fucking move big rocks just because you write down how you think they should be moved, you fucking needle dicks. Now, I do have some respect for old school engineers, because these guys actually made things, like or the Army Corps of Engineers. You know, these guys do things with their hands, but I was the guy that these would be tasked with doing things by these motherfuckers. And I'm telling you right now, most of those guys are dumb. They're intelligent in what they're smart in, and they miss very basic common sense things, like we saw with the ash at the pyramid. These guys are dumb.
I did call him on that. I said, no, dude, this is mainstream. This is the mainstream.
Yeah.
If you keep playing that clip, yeah.
Yeah. No, I know that was the end of the clip.
Okay. I was wondering if I checked him on, I did.
Exactly. No, and it's just, I like watching this, like yesterday, I could have thrown something at my TV and just been like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Can you imagine how hard it would be as someone who actually like an actual Egyptologist watching this debate? It's probably so hard to watch.
Well, we have some in the audience, so they're cracking up about it. Because in the end, look, we got to laugh at this shit. That's the way to deal with it. Because it's like, I think what's not frustrating is what they're saying. What's frustrating is that so many people in the public take them seriously when they lie like this. And it's just like, that's what's such a shame.
Yeah, you're right. That's the only thing I care.
This is where it's really funny, because their way of taking on the mainstream of addressing that is they do the Keemstar thing. Look at your biggest debunkers on YouTube. Think about your number one, your biggest name debunkers in our sphere, especially. They're all assholes. All right. They're not content. That's just like, this guy got it wrong, and this is why. That's dry. This guy's fucking stupid. That fucking gets some clicks. And so you get this vitriol laden mess of bullshit. And then they're in this spot where like, okay, Flint in this video, for example, has said over and over and over and over and over that I lied, that I lied, that I lied, that I lied. So now he's stuck with that, because the problem is as a professional, he can't look bad to me. He can't look like I got him. So he lies. And he has to maintain that lie in order to keep saying that I lied. And this is, it's pretty goddamn frustrating, man, because like when they're trying to manipulate the public, or they're trying to convince us all that they're right and that we're wrong, you could just bring the data to bear and be chill about it. And the way to do that would honestly be to engage in the conversation with us and like be chill with us. But they don't be, they're not polite. They're assholes about it. And you know, it goes against the Society for American Archaeology, like the origins of that thing. When it started, one of the things that its first bylaw said in the Constitution was that they were to help assist like better relations between amateurs, between interested amateurs and professional archaeologists, and offer assistance when needed or when requested to those interested amateurs. So it's like, we ask for their help is when they're supposed to be weighing in, not just any old time they want. And so, but they make this a narrative war, and it wouldn't be difficult for them to look at Ed Barnhart is a great example. All right. Ed Barnhart isn't somebody that I have a problem with. And it's not because he agrees with Graham Hancock. He is definitely 110% mainstream. However, he's not a dick. And if you disagree with him, he won't treat you like you're a piece of shit. And that's probably why his channel is not going to be as big as Milo Rossi's, but the fact of the matter is it's infinitely more informative. And this is, so it's funny to me because when they're talking about how to convince the masses, and it's like, well, you're stuck in the same algorithm war that the rest of us are. Big surprise that those of us that are convinced by other, by, or aren't convinced by you guys are not convinced now. We went fucking internet blood sports with it. Well, I'd fucking, never mind. You completely won me over. Yeah, Ed's awesome, man. I love Ed. I was wanting to get him on the channel, but Flint Dibble has poisoned the well to where all archaeologists are afraid to work with him.
Yeah.
People, that's like, what you're, like, it's one thing to have theories and, you know, you want to just have your channel and but like, if your career is based on miseducating the public and that's what you make do to make a living, and you're not actually putting stuff out in the world that's making the world better, but you're just taking money in from by decreasing the population's IQ, that's horrible. That's like the worst thing you can do as a human being.
Of course.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah, like that would be imagine that would be pretty terrible. It'd be like if you showed up and to a debate and didn't know what the fuck you were talking about. And then you go around afterwards saying that you did know what you were talking about. That might amounts to being a little bit of a dumbing down society, right? I mean, look, dude. Niels, as far as I understand, he's into that Gnosticism stuff. It's like, dude, are you going to argue with the theologians from all this time, blah, 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 blah? And it's like, well, that's not a, theology is not a science. It's, neither is archaeology, bitch tits. These guys fucking get to make shit up. They get to manipulate the fucking outcomes of their mathematical processes by prioritizing data sets that they like more than others. Now, they can have all kinds of different reasons for that, but ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not nearly as scientific as it needs to be. So, Neil, I don't like to call people a grifter all the time, but Neil is, at this point, I think a lot of it's just ego. He's trying so hard to not have lost. And I get it. If I felt like I lost, I would be sad too. But hating on a player that be having things, god damn it. Oh, how can you act like you know all these subjects and you specialize in seasoned plants? Put zero in fact checking himself on Rapa Nui. Yeah. Dude, that is so true, 757. Flint didn't look into anything on Easter Island and talked all this shit. It's like that right off the bat should show everybody that pays attention. It's like, yeah, see, like if, real quick, the whole idea of the Gnosticism stuff, it's like, you know, if Neil's 180 degrees off from the mainstream there, and it's like, no, you understand that there's going to be people that think he's misinforming the public, right? And then if you take and like, how do you put it? If you flip that on its other side and you take it, fuck, dude, sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought there. I read one of the comments and it started making me laugh, but at any rate, ultimately it's frustrating because, well, here we go. You know, he's so worried about it, about us corrupting the public. And it's like, dude, to a Christian, you're sending people to worship Satan, literally. And, you know, one of the reasons you don't see me fucking around with a lot of the other things that people talked about, climate science and medical science, and I'm not going to go fucking fighting with these guys. And there's a reason, because if I get something wrong, if me poking holes at a scientist creates more of an effect that it should have, or that I want it to have, like when I made a video on Flint and people were trying to go after his job, that affects the unforeseen circumstances that I don't like. If I inadvertently convinced everybody on the planet that aliens built the pyramids, everybody still goes to work tomorrow. Nothing changes. Nothing gets fucked. But if I inadvertently convince the world that, you know, you could burn 300 pounds of coal every day and you're not going to fuck the environment up, I could potentially cause some problems, you see? And so this is like, my point is, what the fuck is your problem with me, bro? What ultimately happens? That's why Flint conflates us. He's, these guys, they make it where scientists are no longer considered respectable. It's like, no, fuckwit. All I did was put a magnifying glass over your irrespectable ass and showed you to the world. They're like, this guy's not even a real scientist. Quit fucking calling yourself a scientist. Quit taking these soft sciences and putting them on the same pedestal as the real ones. Why don't we start there? That will bring a huge amount of respect back to the scientific community. If you guys just started drawing a hard line between these motherfuckers that try to be like cozy up to you and the motherfuckers that are actually doing science. Fuck. I get worked up about this shit sometimes. God damn.
I think they make money off of this. Like they're proud of it. And then they get all huffy like, Zahi Hawass lied. Are you kidding me? Zahi Hawass made a fucking mistake. 1 out of like 10,000 things he said. You guys are wrong. 999 out of 1,000 things you say. Like, right. And confidently so. And it's just so frustrating. And so like, what the fuck is wrong with our world is the answer.
It's so frustrating, so comically so. This one he got, there's some stuff that he brought in, but it wasn't very, like, the carbon dating stuff, there was some evidence there that we'll definitely have to, I'll be looking at some more in the future. I mean, this is the difference between me and Flint. I'll give credit where credit's due, even if the person's a shit weasel. Sometimes he does say things that are worth listening to. The problem is that he is so, like he's saying it right there. Like you guys just watched me work myself up talking about how frustrated that I get with the way that they treat us. But you just watch Flint work himself up. And all it is about how we're not allowed, like we're wrong and we make money at it. And it's like, and then he goes and says all these bullshit lies. Hey, David, welcome to the pack. He goes and says all these bullshit lies. Like Dan's lying about this. They're confidently wrong about all these things. Fucking lies about Easter Island. And see, that's the thing. He didn't lie. He just didn't do the research. He assumes that I'm full of shit, or be more accurate. And this is why I need to make more videos like this as we go forward. He is doing this because he feels like nobody's going to push back on it. So he can just say whatever the fuck he wants about Easter Island because nobody's going to argue with him. It's like, it's why their debunker model is what it is. It's why Milo Rossi can be confidently wrong. It's why Flint can be confidently wrong. It's why Dave can be confidently wrong. You don't have to get your data right when you're preaching to the choir. All you have to do. Well, thanks, David. I appreciate it, man. Oh yeah. They do the same with me. Sure. What? How do you mean, data? But yeah, they. It's ridiculous. Okay. There's no, if nobody's going, like, it's the great way of looking at it is the flat earther stuff. I can make a video right now about flat earthers and I could make up their position. I could make up some, and like instead of the ice ring and all that shit, I could make up a thing where flat earthers all believed that the earth was actually on a Mobius strip and that we were fucking flying through space and, like in a figure eight, and so it seemed flat, but it was actually like the Rainbow Road on Mario Kart. And I could make a video about that, and all I have to do is just be like, and this fucking idiot actually thinks that this is and can you fucking believe that these guys are out there in the world today and this guy votes? And then those videos don't get fact checked by anybody. Okay, nobody fact checks that, not the flat earthers and not the fucking people that hate them. All right. This model becomes what they do to everything. So of course Dan's lying about Easter Island. Well, yeah, of course you're going to think that you're going to say that because you don't bother to look because you don't fucking need to look. It's not until you and Neil actually started talking that it got into that point. Thank you. Love you too, man. I really appreciate this data foot. I really appreciate you. This is, it's always nice to have a bunch of people show up and yodel at me in the chat. Hey, bro, really appreciate the way you feed information towards us Muppets, making things less complicated, more palatable. Cheers from New Zealand. Thank you, Biscuit. I appreciate it. Excuse me. Anyone who actually followed Neil before, I can say it confidently. Yeah, I didn't follow Neil before. Like I've said, I'm not into Gnosticism. Like, I made the joke before, but I mean it. It's like, You guys remember the video that went viral about a decade or so ago that was like how Neo wasn't really the one in the Matrix. It was actually Agent Smith was the one in the Matrix. Same fucking shit with Gnosticism. It's not God that's God. It's the devil that's God. All right. Hey, thanks, Optimus Hub. I haven't been over, Optimus B, I haven't been over to CDA in a hot minute. I need to get over there, but I'm going to be going to Silverwood here before too much longer, probably another month or so. But yeah, might be the last time I ever go with my son. He's 17 now, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's like at some point be like, hey, dude, you know what? I think that I'm going to take some chick or take one of my friends or go with somebody who's not you, which is fine. But God damn it, that's one of the hardest things about getting old is watching the kids not need you as much. It means you did a good job, but it's definitely the most bittersweet thing in the world. Worse than first love. I threw it on the ground. Archaeologists, when someone challenges their story and it makes them mad. Yeah, very good, Ryzen. They're the same methodology as old Moses, where you just pick it up and slam the Ten Commandments because you don't like how they came out. All right, make sure I didn't miss any little super chats. I miss them every now and again. I feel all bad if somebody gives me money because they want me to read what they're saying for sure. Then I should absolutely read it.
All right, I guess we're done with the pyramid section.
No, I couldn't agree more.
No, but I really thought you did a great job pulling together that list. That was like, let's think of a collaborative video on it or something. We could do something together on it and like really slam home. Hey, Egyptologists and archaeologists have this kind of experience. You guys are just lying about us, you know, like. It's a shame, you know.
It was interesting that there was no pushback on the section. I thought there's gonna be a lot of fighting over can Egyptians actually cut granite. And when I brought up the arsenic copper plus sand that has quartz in it, Dan gave no pushback on that. So I'm wondering if people on the alternative side watching this debate at least took home, wait a minute, the Egyptians can cut granite.
Oh my fucking Christ. Yeah, I didn't push back on it. Again, if you watch my content, Neil, you prepared for the debate, you would have been ready. Grab a six pack on me. Well, thank you so much, David. Man, I really appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. I will grab some beer. I think I've still got one or two in my fridge, but it is Thursday night. There's no reason not to have a drink. You know, I should point out, I do go out to the bars here fairly regularly, but when I'm out of town, like in Sedona, for example, I was going out every night because I was there for fucking 10 days. I don't know anybody. The event ended and then there was going to be a tour and the tour didn't happen. So then like I was there for 7 days with nothing to do. So, and it's fucking Sedona. So that I went out to drink every night because I had no social life. Okay. I had nobody to talk to. So yeah. I mean, here, sometimes I hang out with my son. Sometimes we even play video games together. It's fucking crazy. He plays more with his uncle nowadays than me because, you know, I'm his dad. The insight dating archaeology in the future they no doubt will have a McDonald's trash in the mix for dating. Exactly. Raise them to leave. You know it's bittersweet. Damn, you got that one right, Timmy. It's brutal. Too many big words, not enough bright colors and cartoons. He can't pay attention. He's Blue's Clues. Yeah, pink cheap doors. That's one day. Yeah, no, I could have. I did go and check out some stuff, but I mean, I did go. Like, I went to Tuzi Gute and a few places. But my point was that it was just like there was nothing. I don't have a friend to go hang out with. It was like sitting on my ass all day long with a mediocre internet connection. I got a video done and filmed and edited and stuff but for the most part, I was just like, I was fucking, during the daytime, I didn't have anything to do. Excuse me. Besides, you know, as far as social life goes, I'm your neighbor in Oregon. Just drove over the Bridge of the Gods last weekend. Oh, awesome. That's a pretty, pretty amazing, bridge. Promo your content. Oh, it has too many big words. Yeah, I already read that one. All right. Back to watching these guys. Oh, yeah. Hang on. I need to address that real fast. The cutting of granite. Look, man, I've talked so many times about how stone lapping. Okay. When I was at the Cosmic Summit last year. I forget who it was. It was with me and Hugh Newman and one other guy were chatting. And like I talked about stone lapping, which is when they rub two pieces of granite together and they get precision, like super duper flat surfaces, precision flat surfaces, like laboratory, machine shop levels, microns thick. Okay. So, I've posted videos of them driving chisels in and stuff. I mean, this isn't, I've said this a number of times. The places to focus when you're looking for ancient high technology is things that we can't emulate without it. Like, which is why you'll always hear me talk with the pyramid. I always focus on the alignment of the pyramid because that's where it's like, that's something I can't figure out for sure how they did. I look at Sacsayhuamán, for example, and all how tight those stones are together. Now, hypothetically, every one of those could have been lapped, but I don't think they were. That would take way too much time. So there is something going on there. See, this is where, you know, I do have some very different opinions than most people in the alternate history space. And that's where it's kind of funny that Neil didn't recognize that going in. It's like, you're not, you come in, get all prepared to argue with me about whether or not they could cut granite. It's like, dude, of course they could cut it. It's just how much could they cut? How well could they do it? And that, because at a certain point it becomes like, again, we're talking 27 years. Dan is like the cactus off Final Fantasy VII Trezard. Man, he owns your ass. Much respect. Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, it's that that fucking Jumbo Cactar is that they've fucking made Magic the Gathering so fucked up, man. That Jumbo Cactar was one of them, but I still, the time that I was playing with my daughter's friends and one of them countered my spell with that goddamn SpongeBob meme that's all a fucking chicken with the lettering in lowercase and uppercase and fuck if I didn't. I was like, I haven't had a cigarette in like 15 years and I wanted one so bad. It's like, God, this isn't magic. This is supposed to be a wizard spell, not some fucking Zoomer meme. What the fuck am I looking at here? Hey, thank you so much, Charity Dunning. I super duper appreciate that. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Data. I honestly have a lot of respect for you guys that are my followers because I know that I don't say things that everybody likes to hear. At times I say things that people would rather me, you know, rather that I agreed with Ben Van Kirk with 100% or something like that. But in all honesty, I think like I say all the time, these guys are doing important work. I mean, people can be really, really wrong and still be really, really right in some places. So I watched a stream a while ago where Flat Earth was making fun of simulation theory people. They claim one can't prove. Really? You can't disprove Flat Earth simulation? No, you can't. No, you can absolutely disprove Flat Earth. Yeah, but simulation theory. The funny thing about it is ultimately it doesn't matter, right? When it comes to the simulation stuff, ultimately it really doesn't matter. But it is something that is a big deal when it comes to when it comes to like a philosophical thing, but ultimately whether or not this is a simulation, unless there's a way out of the simulation, which clearly there's not, if that's the case, all it is a mathematical, it's something fun to think about, but it's like one of my favorite little musings with it is like, well, maybe back like they say in the old days that people could use like cast spells and shit. And maybe it was like a glitch, like in the early days of Left 4 Dead, that they didn't have a script for zombies to climb out of the dumpster. So you could shove the dumpsters in places zombies would spawn and they would like get a million zombies in this dumpster. You throw one Molotov and kill them all. But then they wrote a script for the zombies to get out. Well, what if they patched it? What if it was broken in the early days of the simulation? If you just made this little weird sign, it would throw a fireball or some such shit. And then they patched it. You still got all these goofballs running around doing this stuff because grandma taught them that. But anyway, these things are all fun to muse and be hypothetical about. But the only thing about simulation theory that really gets under my skin is the numbers. It's like when you look at it from the math, it's like it is pretty ugly. Or then you think about it like the way that humans could. Oh, fuck. Dude, honestly, the Max Hedramine shit, the fruit fly stuff. I think we'll stop with the video of theirs for today. I think there's enough there to do one more of these, which we'll do in the next couple of days and then be done with that. But the thing that really scares me, like that fruit fly that they recently reanimated. I don't know if you guys saw that. That one, fuck, that's worth looking up really quick. Cause that was fucking wild, dude. Absolutely wild. They, uh, they, went and this shouldn't take but a second to find it. Fruit fly brain simulation. We'll get the little short version. And then I'll share it with your buddy.
It's just made a copy of a fly's brain and connected it to a digital body, where it started to automatically walk and search for food. Back in 2024, neuroscientists used an ultra-fine diamond knife to slice a fly's brain into over 7,000 consecutive sections, each just 40 nanometers thick. They then used an electron microscope to take individual images of each slice, and then stitched all 140,000 neurons and 54 million synapses together.
I don't want to get copyright struck for playing that all the way through at one shot, but it is also worth pointing out that you see how detailed that is. They chopped that fucking thing's brain tiny little pieces, but this is crazy where this goes next, man.
Honestly. To make a full digital copy of an adult fly brain. Now, researchers at Eon Systems have taken that map and turned it into a graph neural network called FlyGM and connected it to a digital version of a fly body, including adding in things like sensory inputs such as vision, smell, and taste. What they found was that without any human input, the neural wiring alone naturally produced the tripod leg walking pattern seen in real insects, as well as the ability to fly and even search for food. They also simulated things like sprinkling nano dust over the fly and found it automatically started to clean and grow.
Okay. This fucks me on a fundamental level, dude. This really fucks my brain up. You really need to find something else to do with your Friday night. I'll get drunk first, Tim. Don't worry. I'll get all drunk and then I'll show up here and be like, yeah, I love it, motherfuckers. We'll finish the video off like we started it hammered. But dude, here's the thing. Those of you who remember this fucking show, fuck me. All right. This is what they did with this is where Max Headroom came from, is that they took a reporter that was problematic and they downloaded his brain. And then, you know, they thought they croaked his ass and we're going to keep using him as a digital version. And now there's a real, real big problem. I don't know, Ben, if you guys have seen that Dark Mirror show, but there's the one episode where this chick like buys this Alexa type of thing that's gonna like it's gonna cook her food for her, make her coffee and run like that in the morning. And then so what they do to make it perfect is they clone her brain and put it inside of this machine, and when the cloned brain refuses to work, they just like torment it. And it's like you fucking, and then she's making her own coffee every day for the infinite dude. It's like this shit gets fucking creepy, man. Very creepy when you start talking about these kinds of things where they get on that outside realm of science like that. It is fucking. I guess what's really crazy is that from everything I've seen, like this is the first time I could say that it feels like they've captured whatever it is that makes things tick, right? You know, normally, you know, it's like we can't seem to make things live, but this lived, however, you know, maybe in a digital way still, but it was alive. So that shit's crazy to me. Absolutely crazy. Yeah, see, this is why the universe is so vast. You are all currently a figment of my imagination. And that is exactly the kind of thing that simulation theory lends itself to, but it also lends itself it's a non-starter, man. We can't really discuss anything with that. If there's the three fundamental things you have to accept in order for us to have a meaningful conversation is that we both exist, reality exists, and there's laws that we can learn from. You're not a figment of my imagination, nor is this room. And if I throw a rock at you, I can determine about the arc and it's going to hurt. RoboCop is another scary one that's probably coming down. Deadly Friend did that horror movie. I haven't seen Deadly Friend. I'll have to check that one out. It sounds familiar, but I've seen a lot of horror films, but I haven't watched that one. We're all fractals. Yeah, it's quite a possibly. Like, fractals are a goofy little part of the universe. Transcendence with Johnny Depp. Today, young people on acid are figuring out we're all vibrations. Oh, man, that was the fucking shit by generation. It was before our, but my generation even, but like Bill Hicks, I don't know if you guys ever saw that great bit of his. Bill Hicks had a pretty good I bet you they've got a short of it nowadays. Pretty good bid on that. Bill Hicks News. Yeah, there we go. Sorry, he ends that bit with well, they need some better news where it's like reporting on what's really happening. He's a young man in rural Tennessee today was on LSD and realized that we are all just one entity imagining itself, and we are just energy compressed to a slow vibration and all this kind of bullshit, right? So that was back in the early 90s, and yeah, that was even before that, people were saying this kind of stuff. I mean, we saw a lot of that shit in the 60s and of that kind of thinking. And, you know, in all honesty, this is, it's weird because it's like, you know, talk about how you need the dreamers and the skeptics. Fractals are a great example of that. You know, how many fucking, what would just people here talking about it with a very new agey spin on it, right? I mean, this is like, oh, hang on, we got this Marcel guy. Well, I'm a liar. Yeah, oh, shut up, you fucking idiot. Anyway, so the whole, it's funny how certain people, there's certain words that just like pop up on the screen and they distract me. I need to train myself away from that. The whole, see, now I just completely derailed my train of thought. But at any rate, talking about the hippies. Okay, so fractals are hippie shit, generally speaking. But, you know, your phone antennas are all fractals now. And they have a better bandwidth and they're smaller shit. Man, my first cell phone with articulated antenna like you see on fucking Saved by the Bell, right? But it ain't like that no more. It's, and that's, they... Lots of people were thinking about fractals, but somebody actually worked with them. And so I think that, you know, I think that a lot of these things, like there's a lot of, I'll give a lot of leeway to somebody who's doing honest research, even if I think that they are really, really out there. Because it doesn't really matter. You know, fucking Newton, Sir Isaac Newton was, in his day, he would have been burnt at the stake just for his thoughts on the Trinity. He was a non-Trinitarian, right? Just that's enough to get him removed from the game back in those days. But he also was really smart and did a lot of stuff that was really cool. And he was also an alchemist. It's like the guy, Carl Christian Rafn was the dude who figured out the Norse were the first, that the Norse beat Columbus to America. And he eventually found hard evidence for it, but the stuff that got him going on it was his belief that Indians were too stupid to carve rocks. So, I mean, you know, by modern standards, we call a guy a raging racist and still able to be wrong until he was right because he was doing honest research, even though he was, in most people's minds, pissing up a rope. And that's the difference here. When these guys think that we're all lying, there are people in this community that are wrong, that lie, that don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And there are people that make mistakes. That's something that's going to happen and will always happen. But the idea that, that basically what this comes down to is a matter of, this is all an appeal to authority. And the real problem becomes when you try to say that we don't know as much as you guys do, and your evidence for that is superficial at best. You don't know the names of the people that I flashed on the screen really quick. It's like, dude, are we training for a war here? What the fuck's going on? Anyway, we're going to get going here in just a minute. Anybody got anything that, what do we have? Kurt Metzger is like the Bill Hicks of this time. Yes, Kurt Metzger is fucking hilarious. I've been on his podcast a couple of times now, and I was really, really lucky. He contacted me for his second one ever. And it's so much fun talking to Kurt. Like when I watched, when I watched Joe Rogan and saw Kurt on there, I was watching that and I saw the part where he mentioned me, like mentioned my channel by name. I was fucking blown away. That was really cool. Yeah. Thanks, WD Trip. You take care. But yeah, thanks everybody. Yeah. Kurt's great. Sam Tripoli was a lot of fun to talk to. I also talked to Mark Gagnon. Joe Rogan, he's a comedian too, they say. But yeah, a lot of these comedians guys are pretty sweet. Yes, Derp with Kerp. Derp. When I was on there, he had his fucking little NASA helmet on the one time. That was great. That was so fucking hilarious. Dude, he's something else, man. But yeah, I was cracking jokes with him, and he even told me at one point that I might have wasn't able to catch me. And see, now here's the thing. Kurt is a great example of somebody that is way more out there than I am. All right. Way more out there than I am. But it doesn't mean that I have to disagree, that I have to fight with him about the things that we disagree on. The difference is if he's, you know, just bullshit, and if he's telling me stuff that's bullshit to make money, well, then I am going to be upset. But you know, the people, let's put it this way, at this point, they are, all it takes is one person in this community to be wrong, and they're going to put us all in that fucking bag. So I'm, you know, I was told by a very prominent YouTuber who I shall keep nameless because they don't want people knowing that we're the best of friends, or that we used to talk a lot, not a lot. But anyway, he told me that I needed to be careful. And he, in his opinion, I should focus my energy on not be careful. I should focus my energy on the academics, not the non-academics. And this guy's very academic, but his reasoning is that too many of these guys are running outside of the box. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be there some of the time. Well, I appreciate that, Ryzu. I'm the kind of guy that would not catch anybody. Yes, I'm besties with Mr. Beast. No, it was actually that weird dude that was working for him that was like chasing kids around and shit. So honestly, I'll close with this before I get going. It's one of my best jokes that I've ever told to my son, when he told me I was too old to be a YouTuber when I first was like going to meet with Joe Rogan. He's like, "Dad, you're way too old to be a YouTuber." And I was like, "Son, I'm the perfect age. Most YouTubers, when they get popular, they end up going to jail for fucking somebody half their age. If I fuck somebody half my age, I just look like a dirty old man." All right. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Look for me tomorrow night. I'll get drunk and we'll do this again.